theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hola, amigas and amigos.
Oh, wow. That's so nice of you to differentiate the two.
I know. Well,
hola, amiga. How are you, honey?
Well, muchas gracias.
Muy bien. Oh, my gosh.
I'm very good. Thank you. We are so excited to be talking with you guys about an adventure story today.
Yes.
Using a little bit of my Spanish because we're going to be talking about San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua, and just kind of describing what life is like there. You know, if I recommend, you know, anyone go and check out somewhere new. But when we were first, you know, trying to figure out where we wanted to move, we did a lot of research beforehand.
Right.
And really the most, one of the most appealing things about San Juan del Sur. So San Juan del Sur is on the Pacific coast, a little tiny beach town near the border of Costa Rica and Nicaragua.
Yep. And it's in Nicaragua.
And
before we get too into this, I also want to mention, this was not our original idea of a podcast episode.
That's true.
This was recommended to us to have a discussion on this, which I am forever grateful for anyone who does that. So once again, shout out to anyone who's a listener and has any idea. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did. I would love to hear from you and hear any ideas you may have on what we can talk about. And we're open and willing to, because we're thinking of this podcast as it's evolving. A lot of it depends on hearing your thoughts.
Yeah.
So share them with us. We would love to talk about it. And so this one, shout out to our listener. We appreciate you. San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua. Is this the place for you?
Yeah. Thanks so much for sending in your questions and your topic suggestions that you're just curious about, because, you know, we have a lot of different things that we like to talk about here, and we're narrowing the focus in on this, like you were saying.
And organizing it too.
We're excited to share that with you guys too. But I think that any and all questions are so welcomed right now, because we are trying to figure this out, and we love sharing our adventures and our experiences with you guys.
It's fun.
And this was a very special place in our hearts. So San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua.
San Juan del Sur. So it's an amazing place that we highly recommend everyone to travel to. I mean, no doubt about it. A little bit more besides it's in Nicaragua near Costa Rica. If you fly into Nicaragua, you're going to fly into Managua, which is the capital city. And it's a real city, real deal city. And from there, it's quite a distance away from the city. You can go by bus. Not an easy route. We've talked about that on a previous episode.
Yeah.
But you can also get a private driver to take you down there. And it doesn't cost too much to get down there. But I'm telling you all, it's so worth it. You know, if you're going to Nicaragua, Managua should not be the only experience you get of Nicaragua.
No, and we could talk about all the different places we would suggest, including Laguna de Apoyo, which is even closer to Managua. But I think really this place, San Juan del Sur, has such a special place in our heart. It was the first time we'd ever lived outside of the country together.
Right.
First time I'd ever lived outside of the country, period. Yep.
And why did we choose to go there first?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons, but The town of San Juan del Sur is an expat town. So
exactly.
Meaning there's expatriates, so people who come from all over the world in different countries to come and actually live there.
A lot of Canadians, Americans, and Australians.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so there, even though Nicaragua, everyone primarily only speaks Spanish, there are some people who obviously speak English there. But our Spanish got so good when we moved there. So if you're talking to locals, expect to talk in Spanish
for
sure. But it's also the most beautiful little beach town. Like it is so gorgeous.
Originally
a little fishing village, and there's still a lot of fishing that goes on over there today. But I would say that primarily it's a tourist, you know, town where people from all over the world are attracted to go there. Not only just to fish and like be around the ocean, but also to surf, you know, do zip lines, you know, do all the fun things that you can do in like a really beautiful natural tropical setting along the beach.
Yeah. It's a little safe community. I would say it's like a little Puebla. It's a town.
It's a small town. I mean, you really get to know the town super well, super quick, because there's really not very many places to go to. There are a few bars. I mean, there are quite a few bars. There are quite a few restaurants, lots of different types of restaurants and bars too, I would say. I mean, like there was like an Irish pub. There was, and then I think the last time we went there was a brand new like
brewery
which was like, whoa, that's kind of a big deal.
So it's a great place for expats to go and start their own business. And a lot of these businesses are more of like hobby businesses. They're not trying to go out there to make it rich. They're doing it because they really enjoy some activity. And so, right. For instance, a lot of the expats will have a surf shop because they absolutely love surfing, and they'll want to set you up with a surfing expedition where you go to different surf spots around San Juan del Sur. You know who's perfect fit for that job? Anyone who loves surfing. Like, now yeah. I get to get paid to do what I love to do.
Yeah.
And I can have a sustainable business with that. A lot of people always had a dream of starting their own bar and restaurant. You can do that in San Juan del Sur for a very low price. There's even the guy from, what is it, The Hills? Justin?
Oh,
Bobby?
Yeah.
Is it Justin Bobby?
Yeah, Justin
my homie?
Bobby. Oh, my
Justin
God.
Justin Bobby actually moved to San Juan del Sur. And he had his own little, I would call it a barbershop, but it's more like fabulous. It's like a salon, a hair salon. And so, yeah, a lot of people go there to start their own little passion project. And it is a really great community for that because you're supporting small business no matter what. There's no McDonald's. There's no Starbucks. Nothing is a franchise. It's all about this tight community of people who are trying to be creative. We loved it.
We loved it. And I would say also on the hospitality front, hostels, a lot of expats come. Whether it's, you know, a resort. I don't know if we ever really... We did actually have some friends who really went into it full in on the hostel, which is our friend Bubba from France.
Yeah.
He was amazing. And his place was beautiful. I mean, that was like not like your normal hostel. I mean, it was a little bit away from the town, just a little bit.
He was like a lawyer in France. And he said, I'm giving it all up and I want to go and do what I love to do. And I want to live in the beach. I want a new culture, new experience. And he went all in. He invested all of his money into buying property. They did all correct with the right legal setup in Nicaragua with a lawyer from Nicaragua. And he set up an amazing oasis of a hostel that is very beautiful. And he's an amazing guy. And I think a lot of the people who go there are kind of in that same kind of mindset.
Yeah. So the people who go there primarily, and this is one of the reasons why we like fully embraced the local community, because it was this group of expats who either A, were retiring, you know, like basically early retirement. They were young. Like they were basically like, we're good. And we're like now 40s. Living. Yeah. We're now living in a place where the cost of living is really low. Our savings and investment are just fine. So we're good.
Yeah.
And then there was another group, which were really pretty, were pretty entrepreneurial. They just came there for a different type of life, right? They basically wanted to reset. And we didn't always ask, you know, exactly what was the catalyst for this, you know, major change. But they were all very much, you know, welcoming, really energetic, passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that was really fun to be around, you know?
It's so weird.
We even had a friend who constructed a container home, which was like the first time that we'd ever actually stayed and like partied at a container home, which was really amazing. I mean, it was, and that in and of itself, getting those containers into that little town must have been a huge project in and of itself.
He said it was. It was crazy. He had to get it up this hill, you know, dirt roads and everything. And he put it together. It's an amazing place. But it's so weird now that like we're describing all the people there and maybe what attracted us to go there. It was like an incubator now that I'm thinking about it. You're around a bunch of creatives.
Yes.
All of our friends were doing something entrepreneurial.
Every single one of them.
Like, whether it's a blog or whether it's building homes or whether it's just having a surf shop or having a place called the Fry Stop where you can get French fries. I mean, they all had some other project. And it was wonderful to be around that kind of a community.
It was. It was like a melting pot from people from all over the world, including a lot of locals, too. I mean, there was a lot of locally owned places there, too, from hostels and street food and restaurants and all that stuff. And it was really fun to see how that all kind of came together.
Yeah.
I mean, even Jane from the San Juan del Sur Library. So she was one of our absolute, you know, mentors when we were first starting off
still
with Life Out.
Yeah,
still
amazing.
Is. Still just one of the most amazing
Game
women.
Changer.
And she, I think, is a really perfect example of the type of people who we would actually meet with. And I'll explain that a little bit more after I describe her. But basically, Jane, you know, she was from Colorado. She'd been vacationing in San Juan del Sur and in Nicaragua for years and years with her husband. And she kept coming back because she absolutely loved the people, loved the culture. There was something about it that pulled her there. She ended up creating the very first public library that actually lends and loans books to individuals in that town. Now, what she also does is she has a program where she actually takes a truck and she allows schools in rural areas around San Juan del Sur to check out books once a week.
Yeah, mobile library.
A mobile library. But the library itself was was amazing. It was the first one in Central America.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's
So when Guatemala, she went to San Juan del Sur, it was very bare. There, it was not as much of an expat community as it is today.
Right.
But now it's insane what she's created. It's amazing. And you were going to mention how that's the type of people that we ended up connecting with.
Well, that's really the biggest thing is like we were seeking out individuals who were thinking like us. And honestly, the people who are working in an office 9 to 5 every day are not the ones who were sharing the same vision and passion for what our life could be.
Right.
But when we got to San Juan del Sur, we started meeting these people. We're like, why, where have these people been all our life? Oh, well, that's right. They're not working in an office. They're mm-hmm. actually out here in the world creating their own business and doing international business. And that shift and that click for us,
mm-hmm.
San Juan del Sur completely changed us, I think. Yeah. And in a weird way, we're just looking at this in hindsight, and we actually haven't really ever talked about this. But I do think that in a weird way, it became the incubator that we created and the people who we really reached out
weird
to.
We discovered that just now.
It is weird. But I mean, and even our closest friends, like our family in Nicaragua,
mm-hmm.
Ian Gord,
yeah.
like those were, we lived with them. They were some of our closest friends. They came there. They had an amazing blog called Inika Now.
Mm-hmm.
And they pivoted and they actually have their own house there and they've done a lot of things.
Like setting people up with vacation rentals and so on. It's amazing.
But they came there to retire early. Well, what's interesting mm-hmm. is that there's something about, something in the air, I guess, in San Juan del Sur that makes you, even if you come to just chill, you're not going to chill for much longer.
I mean, if you think about it, they were trying to just like relax and stuff, but their closest friends were us and we were like fully 100% in on figuring out how to create this life out of the box business, which was a blog at first, but how do we set a product up that gives back? And then their other closest friends owned a bar, Republica, that they were just hustling beers like left and right, throwing fun events, whether it was like karaoke or trivia night. And they were like, hey, do you need any help in the back? And it's like weird how it all kind of comes together where if you're around that enough, you kind of become it. You know,
you
they
do.
Say you're the average of your closest friends. You're the average of your environment too. So I think choosing those types of environments are really beneficial for individuals who are seeking out to become more entrepreneurial.
I totally agree. Like if you're, I mean, obviously when we're all allowed to travel again, spending a month down in San Juan del Sur will do you some serious good because you'll get over drinking beer on the beach. You'll get over all of this stuff. But you know what primarily I think connected all of the people that we really met in San Juan del Sur, expats mm-hmm. and locals included, but definitely with the expats, is that they were seeking something that was similar to us. And it maybe wasn't just starting a business.
Yeah.
It was seeking an alternative lifestyle
mm-hmm.
to the one that was presented to them as this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And they really all did go outside the box
Absolutely.
Of just like, you know what? I don't really need that amount of money. I think I'm good with this amount and let's see what I can do when I can actually say, at 3 o'clock, I'm putting my feet up on the beach and I'm having a Tonya. It's Tonya time, you know?
Or it's all an experiment. And so I have this amount of money. I'm going to go down there and see what happens.
Exactly.
And I'm just going to like let it flow and let's see where it goes. And it's weird. Like I think a bigger question that we still have to include in this conversation is why did we pick Nicaragua? You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that at that time, it was, 2011? 2012. 2012.
Yeah, 2012.
When we went down there, by that time, Costa Rica has been fully exposed.
Yeah,
I mean,
booming.
It was the retirement place in Central America for you to go to. You can get great property right on the beach. You know, Mel Gibson, he got in there early. But now, that's done. And so Nicaragua was the kind of mysterious one that people were curious about. We knew about its history and the difficulties that they've been having as a country, but we also felt that there was an opportunity there where if we were on the cuff of entering something that has yet to be fully opened up its borders to allow people to like really take advantage of the system for retirement, etc., this could be something big. And so that was like the way that we chose Nicaragua. It was like the cost of living is really low. I feel like it's way under the radar. And to me, that was like a bit of an opportunity. I think a lot of people who went to Nicaragua did go there with that in mind. They may have gone to other places, but there's something special about being in a place that's not fully meeting all of the expectations. Like if you can, you know, if you're in America, you could pretty much get anything delivered. Like I wouldn't be surprised right now if I could Give me 10 minutes. I can figure out how to get a pina colada delivered to our door within 3 hours.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can't do any of that in Nicaragua. Could you do in Costa Rica? Yeah, you probably could. But like, it's more challenging to, and I shouldn't have done a pina colada because in Nicaragua, you probably could get a pina colada.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying though? It's like those kind of difficulties are appealing to us because to me, that's saying there's some opportunity yeah. there. And that's what brings in a lot of entrepreneurs to that area. It's an enter, it's a safe enter zone mm. where you're not too worried about the dangers of Nicaragua that there are a bit more now than there have been in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
But San Juan del Sur is a perfect entryway to kind of just getting that like good vibes and like yes. allowing you to put your guard down to enable you to have these creative moments.
Yeah, beautifully said. It's a very affordable place to go. It's mm-hmm. a very affordable place to live. There are yeah. opportunities abound.
You can There's find no rent for like 300.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah about 300. We
beers under a buck.
Yeah, really, really cheap food. Food is always organic. No one's using pesticides yeah. or you know anything.
Very healthy. Beans and rice.
Every time we live in a place like San Juan del Sur, we lose so much amount of weight. And yeah. I think that it probably definitely, you know, stems back to the how food is actually produced and whatnot yeah. in different countries. But, you know, if you're not interested in maybe going there because you want to pursue an opportunity, well, A, I think mm-hmm. we kind of have described that the type of people that you're around, you'll be inspired yourself. So if, yeah. whether or not you're looking for it, but it's a beautiful, amazing place to just be for a while. You yeah. know, if you're like, I'll just describe, you know, our life on a daily basis. I mean, we had good internet.
There
was actually
internet.
Pretty
yeah.
surprisingly really good internet.
And that was a while ago. I'm sure it's even better
I'm
now.
I'm sure it's even better now. So the infrastructure is going to probably just continue, hopefully. Mm-hmm. You know, basically every coffee shop had internet too. So if you didn't have a place, in your own place, if you're staying in a hostel or a hotel or whatnot.
It's expected. Yeah.
So it's not like you're in.
Claro que sí.
Yeah. Claro que sí. Yeah.
Name of the internet.
There are cell phones you can get. You know, and a lot of people use the internet there. I mean, people were, at least when we were first on there, people were really excited about Facebook and they thought mm-hmm. that Facebook was the internet. Now that's probably evolved a lot since
Absolutely,
then.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, it's just, it's such a good lifestyle. I don't know mm-hmm. what it is about San Juan del Sur, but it is kind of like that tranquilo vibe, you know, yeah. where everyone is, you know, trying to just live their best life.
Right.
And it's a really, really fun, interesting atmosphere. Now that it's also a small town mm-hmm. and it's super important to really befriend the locals. Like if you really want to understand the culture, you don't just hang out with a bunch of expats.
Yeah. You don't isolate yourself.
That's easy. Yeah. It's too easy.
When you get there.
And honestly, the expats who actually lived there, they didn't do that either. Mm-mm. They really primarily focused on yeah. becoming friends with the locals. I mean, I loved the big fruit truck. There was like a big pickup truck that would come around and
banana.
Yeah, basically on repeat, just explain what they have in their car. And so you would just flag them down on the road and then you would just pick the things that you need. And then that was it. So that's kind of like fruit delivery yeah. that we definitely don't have here.
It's just different.
They
amazing.
Just had different systems and it was really simple. Yeah. That's what I loved about it. And like I marveled in the nights where power was out.
Mm.
You know, it sounds weird. But everyone would just go outside. Usually it was raining and the lights were all off. Power was out. No internet. People would just go onto their porch and start, you know, talking, hanging out, eating, drinking or whatever. And yeah. it was just like a forced moment of pause. So
yeah. It's like forced meditation in a way.
In a weird way it is. Yeah. yeah.
It is kind of weird that we embrace those moments of things that honestly, when they happen here, it's like chaos. Like, oh my gosh, the power's out. I mean, how often does it happen in the United States? So rare.
It happened all I don't know what it's like now, but it happened a lot in San Juan del Sur.
Yeah.
But it was okay. It became a part of the daily life there.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. I think another point that I wanted to add on to that you mentioned earlier is it's so important for you not to isolate yourself and embrace the community. When we did our House Hunters episode and we were choosing which location we wanted to live in, there was one that was immaculate. It was so amazing, perfect, but it was out of town, maybe like even just like 3 miles.
Yeah.
And we said, no, if we are doing this, we got to be in town. And I think that's such an important part about San Juan del Sur. You want to be able to walk around, really get to know the community and allow the community to change you to help you evolve into your ideal self.
Exactly.
And I think the closer you are to that community, the closer you are to that core, the individuals that make it up, the art around the town, like everything about it, the more you walk around, the more you taste and smell and experience new things, something as simple as the fruit guy delivering a truck, the more you're going to be able to develop these new ideas and thoughts that help you get to where you want to go.
Yeah, that's so true. And also, I mean, they were, I would say, like, on at least a monthly basis, they were having celebrations in the street.
Definitely.
So if you're down in it, though, if you're in the heart of the town, you can't help but experience that. And yeah. that's amazing, because even though there were all of these different restaurants, there was a French fry stop over here, burrito.
Pizza parlor.
There was even a French creperie. Like, there were all sorts of different foods from all over the world. Mm-hmm. It was so cool to always experience new things from Nicaragua, like new food, new drinks, new dances, new celebrations, new music. I mean, it was, Nicaragua's a culture unto itself in a weird way. I mean, we all, you know, tend to say, like, oh, it's the, like, Latino, you know, community. It's like the countries have these distinct cultures that you can only really truly feel and embrace when you're living in it.
Right.
And these celebrations really help bring that beauty out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about San Juan del Sur. I mean, it became like a really kind of a close small town vibe after a while. I mean, I felt comfortable walking down the street as a girl just by myself going for a run down to the beach, because I knew I was seeing the ladies that are on the side, you know, selling vegetables or selling chicken, or, you know, the woman who owns the restaurant. Like, I'll always wave to them. They would see you. You start to really kind of, in a weird way, become acquaintances with everyone who's like nice enough to say, you know, hello.
And then eventually friends with a lot of them too, which is great.
Yeah, we did.
But I will say it is one of the safest places we've experienced in all of our travels, in all honesty.
Yeah.
But it is also important, though, to recognize what is safe and what is unsafe.
True.
And there are those moments. I mean, we've lived in San Francisco, and there's parts of San Francisco that, you know, you just don't walk around at night. And there's still parts of San Juan del Sur that you need to quickly learn where you don't go.
Yes.
And if it's dark and if you're alone, you shouldn't go there. You know, like, for example, I highly don't recommend that you go to the beach at night. I mean, they don't have lights on the beach itself. So if you're in a dark, isolated part and you're just sitting down, you're setting yourself up for a vulnerable situation.
Right.
So there are those rules that you kind of need to take the time to learn about. We learned about them. Luckily, you know, if we were extending ourselves out to maybe an uncomfortable zone, we would only do it together in the daytime. And then we would always spend extra time talking to people about what's good, what's not good. And very quickly, we kind of knew where our boundary was. So upon entering, you know, play it safe. It's always good to go a little bit outside of your comfort zone, but really it's okay to ask people what's allowed, what's not allowed, where's safe to go, what's not safe to go. I think in general, if it's really lit up and there's a lot of people, you know, specifically expats or tourists, you're probably going to be more safe in that area.
Yeah.
But if it's really dark and you're not seeing a lot of people, you got to be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
And that goes for anywhere and everywhere. But I think that's good advice to be able.
I totally agree. I think that is the best advice. I think it's pretty much should apply anywhere you go, even if you're in the United States.
Absolutely,
you know,
or
anywhere where you're from and you feel safe. I think that there are certain travel, you know, rules to abide by. Like, don't carry a bunch of cash on you if you can avoid it. You know, like, lock your stuff when you're leaving the room. You know, like, there are certain things, and it's not to say that you don't feel safe at all. It's just being smart, preventing.
Right.
It's just being preventative and being aware.
Right. And so one of our big things that we did, and we lightly talked about it, is when we arrived in Managua, we went straight to the hotel because we arrived late at night. And that's a very vulnerable situation to be in, looking for a hotel late at night, trying to find, you know, trying to get from point A to point B, especially if point B is very far away. It's so much easier. Just go to get it, make it simple. And then in the morning, when it's bright and early, now you have all day to get that goal accomplished.
Yeah.
And so I do think, like, the time in which bad things occur is typically really late at night. You know, you don't want to be drunk and vulnerable in a dangerous situation at night. So
yeah, and I think that it's good that you're saying this, because really there were all walks of life that came through San Juan del Sur,
right?
And this included individuals who were just on, you know, like, a week vacation wanting to come, and maybe young kids who wanted to, like, hang out on the beach, get tan, surf, and then go out at night and party. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of those. And then there were a lot of people who were just like our expat friends who were actually living there, right?
Yeah.
And then you get people from the city who obviously understand that there are tourists that come down to vacation and travel. So it's just a matter of, I mean, we were really lucky that we got all of these different types of people who came to our little, you know, beach town, because it allowed us to really meet some fascinating, really fun, cool, interesting people.
Definitely.
And great friends, lifelong friends. But, you know, it's just important to be aware, to be mindful of, you know, if you're out at night, that is, I mean, nothing good happens after midnight. That's pretty much, you know, the rule of thumb.
If you kind of keep that motto in mind, no matter where you're at, it's a pretty good idea to hold tight to. I mean, even in Thailand and Bangkok, you got to be careful. All parts of the world. I mean, we had some gnarly times in Europe where I was like really bummed out that we were stuck in a situation. And I was like, dude, this is Paris, the city of love. It's like, this is a little peligroso. So
everywhere has their danger moments. But I will say that the local people are some of the most amazing, kind-hearted, caring individuals that I've ever met, like ever. Yeah. They're so they go out of their way, especially if, you know, I don't know. There's so many stories that I have of, you know, the locals just kind of coming over and just making sure that I'm feeling okay or whatever.
Yeah. I think that was something that was really helpful for you. Like if you ever felt unsafe, go to a local or go to a lady for sure. It was always really, really helpful.
Yeah. The mamas.
And I think that could probably be translated all over the world too, you know, in a weird way. Do we recommend whoever's listening to this to go to San Juan del Sur? Absolutely. But possibly more so, I recommend you all find your own paradise. If it's not San Juan del Sur, then do some research and find your place.
Yeah.
But that is a really great place for people, specifically in the United States, that it's a quick flight. It's really easy to get there, and you do feel like you're in a completely different world. It's unlike other developed areas or like places similar to Mexico or Canada or South America. This is a very different type of environment. You feel like you're way far away, though you're actually just a few hour flight away from Houston.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
And so I highly recommend it. I definitely recommend getting out of Managua. And San Juan del Sur, if you're trying to be a little artistic or a little creative or wanting to pursue a hobby or want to find a little bit more of yourself, I highly recommend that spot.
I do too. I mean, there are yogis who go out there and open up their own businesses. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are just looking for a different type of life and a little bit of a reset. And San Juan del Sur is a really nice little slice of heaven in this world. So,
look up the price of living and everything and calculate how much time you can spend there, because the more, the better.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I would say so. And it's really, really, really affordable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just if money is the issue, the flights are usually relatively cheap.
Yeah.
And then once you get there, it is really inexpensive to just stay put and do yourself a favor and stay right in town and start meeting the locals, start meeting the expats, meet other travelers. You will have so much fun and you will come out of, you know, however much time you spend there, you will come out with a totally different perspective.
It's a great place for all ages.
All ages. Totally agree with that. Yeah.
So if you get a chance, check it out. We highly recommend it. If you have any other questions, though, you can let us know. We're always happy to answer.
Yes.
And of course, we appreciate you. We appreciate anyone who writes a review or gives us a rating on our podcast episodes. We hope you all have a great day, and we can't wait to talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye.
Enjoy this journey through sound.